Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sensex Tech Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jyoti Singh for opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. So hello and good morning to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining into the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Sensex Tech Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Prashant Kamat. He's Vice Chairman and Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Suresh Kepi, CEO Designated, Non-Executive and Non-Independent Director. Mr. Kaushik Khona, he's the Managing Director, India Operations. And Dr. Abhay Kimmatkar, he's the Managing Director. So without any further delay, I will hand over the call to Mr. Kaushik Khona, Managing Director, India Operations, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you to this earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2026. Let me at the outset thank our host for today's con call, Messrs. Arihant Capital and Ms. Jyoti Singh in particular. In the interest of some of the people who may be new to the company, let me first start by giving you a brief overview of the company and then followed with a performance highlight for the quarter under review. Sensex Tech has been recently rebranded to CSTech AI, while the corporate name remains as Sensex Tech Limited. We are a leading technology solution provider in the IT-enabled sector. We are acclaimed for our expertise in geospatial engineering, as well as other engineering services and solutions. We offer a broad range of geospatial intelligence services, including data creation, data analytics, decision support systems, enterprise web solutions, and the like. In the year 2022, the company strategically expanded into the mobility sector by acquiring Enegro Technologies, a specialized engineering service provider with a strong international presence. This acquisition allowed the company to enhance its capabilities into manufacturing technology and mobility engineering solutions, covering the entire product development process and industrial automation for diverse sectors, such as the two- and three-wheelers, passenger cars, commercial vehicles, and off-highway equipment. In the year 2024, we acquired a geospatial business of VTS in USA, which was majorly operating into telecom domain. Since then, we are identifying some more targets for inorganic growth to expand our horizons into the domains where the company is already operating, that is geospatial and engineering services and technology solutions, for which the company has already mobilized almost $28 million. We serve prestigious global clientele that include large corporates, OEMs, asset management companies, and government bodies, highlighting its robust reputation in both the geospatial and manufacturing sectors. With offices in India, the United States, the United Kingdom, and Germany, the company combines local expertise with a broad international reach. Additionally, the company is venturing into software product development and emerging technologies through a new vertical focused on artificial intelligence and machine learning and embedded electronics. This vertical emphasizes development of AI and ML. This vertical emphasizes development of AI and ML-enabled applications and solutions to enhance our delivery for the existing domains at the outset, reflecting the company's commitment to innovation and maintaining a competitive edge in a dynamic technological landscape. Now, let me come to the highlights of the financial and operational performance for the first quarter ended 30th June 2025. For the quarter under review, our operational revenues grew by 112% year-on-year to Rs. 157 crore. EBITDA grew by 130% year-on-year to Rs. 30 crore. And EBITDA margins were at 19.35, which were also higher by around 140 basis points as compared to the corresponding quarter last year. The net profit was reported as Rs. 32 crore, which represents a growth of 166% year-on-year, and the PAT margin stood at 20.18%. The growth in both revenue and EBITDA margins was driven by successful execution of projects, which have contributed to stronger margins. Additionally, our ongoing initiatives to improve operational efficiency have enabled us to manage higher volumes more effectively, further boosting our operational performance. The results reflect the amalgamation of 100% subsidiary Allegro Technologies Private Limited, effective 1st April 2024, as approved by the Honorable NCLT, while that said company was previously consolidated, and which helps the merger, therefore streamlines the reporting. The company reported strong growth in its geospatial engineering services and technology solution business, driven by a focus on water, IoT, and enterprise solutions. As of quarter end, it holds an operational cash surplus of rupees 127 crores. As on June 25, the total order book stands at 1,209 crores. A key highlight of quarter one is the company's highest ever quarterly performance, marked by a record revenue and EBITDA. Execution of technology solutions projects saw a 2.7-fold increase in quarter one of this year, rising from rupees 31 crore of the quarter one of FY25 to rupees 84 crore in this quarter, underscoring robust demand and improved delivery capabilities. The contribution of technology solutions to total turnover rose from 51% in Q4 in Q1 of this year, highlighting the company's strategic emphasis on high-value digital initiatives. An investment of rupees 10 crore this quarter has been towards business development for U.S. market expansion, which is also expensed out through the profit and loss account in this quarter one of 25-26. The employee cost as a percentage of revenue declined to 23% in this quarter from 35% on the corresponding quarter of last year, highlighting improved operational efficiency. We added major contracts secured during this quarter, which include an MMRDA contract worth rupees 115 crore for selection of system integrator to monitor its infrastructure projects. We also added project management consultant project for around 11.5 crore and an Autodesk software development contract of rupees 5.5 crore from MMRDA. These contracts reflect the breadth of our capabilities and continued success in securing significant projects across various domains. We are focused on driving growth and continuing to deliver our commitments. We remain optimistic about the future and look forward to sharing more updates as we progress. With this, now I open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Garvit Goyal from Envis Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir, and congrats for decent execution in this quarter. My first question is, in previous call, we did speak about some big orders worth more than 250 crore to be received in 1 month or so. Since then, we did not receive this much order that we mentioned in the earlier call. While we speak about quarterly pipeline of 300 to 400 crore with 70-80% success rate, so sir, I want to understand from you, what is stopping us to get these orders? I agree that we can't look on quarter basis, but now it's almost two quarters where we did not get some major orders that we guided for. So I just want to understand what is the actual picture on ground level. So that's my first question.
This is Prashant. Let me try to address this, and if required, Kaushik can add some more flavors. The major orders we were anticipating were from Jal Jeevan Mission, which was government scheme. But probably you know government decided to take a stock of the situation and they wanted to do the audit of entire program of Jal Jeevan Mission. And that's where they put everything on hold. And some of the results are also affected because of that. I guess that audit is coming towards the fag end, almost finishing, and that pipeline should open now. So the guidance got delayed. It didn't vanish. That's the broader picture. Koshik, you want to add something more?
No, that's correct. I think that's fair. I mean, that's the guidance given was valid and continues to remain valid. I think that's what Prashant said. Next question, please.
So, can we expect orders in Q2?
Yeah, we do expect orders putting a timeline will depend on how fast government moves in terms of this removing that lock on the telecom nation. As soon as that happens, we are already in, I would say, in terms of qualification and the winning probability, we still remain at 80%, which we had told you long back. But unless government clears that aura for moving forward, it will be very imprudent on our side to put a definitive timeline.
Got it. And secondly, on the Vidarbha river linking project, while we were looking to execute 150 crore worth of contract this quarter, it seems like it did not materialize. So what is the current update on that, sir? And how much did we execute in Q1, and by when do we see the completion of this project?
This project, we started already execution. The number is nowhere close to 150. Again, it's not because of us. We are fully ready, cranking to go. But because government wanted to clean up, systemize some of their subside of the stuff, the project took off slowly. Outer, I think we did close to about 30-35 crores of order execution. So there is a large part of this order will get executed in coming months. But what we anticipated on river linking, we were able to do it from other projects. So our results still remain good.
Got it. And lastly, on the inorganic opportunities part, last phone call we mentioned about two opportunities where due diligence was expected to be completed by the month of May or June. So what is the update on that, sir, and anything material happened on that side?
Both of the things are moving pretty well, but you would probably appreciate that it is an M&A. So timeline typically doesn't stay as optimistic as we would love to. Therefore, it will go back and forth. But both are positive, both are moving in good direction, and both are at the stage of due diligence.
Understood. And how this quarter is going on, sir? Can we expect Q1Q growth like last we guided for, like where we will be growing Q1Q growth?
As we have always said, no forward-looking statement. We can tell you that we don't see any momentum reduction. We would continue to maintain our momentum.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shubhankar Gupta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First of all, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on the great set of numbers. Really good results. There are two questions from my end. First question is on the segmented revenue split. And how I categorize the specialists, first, let's say between water, autos using Allegro, what is the segmental revenue split for this quarter and for last financial year? That's one question. Second question is split between orders from domestic, international, and then within domestic, government versus private split.
So I think the segmental split is already published, where the geospatial and engineering services have contributed to almost 72 crores. The technology solutions have contributed to almost 84 crores. And when we talk about the split between government and the private organization, the domestic is more or less, I would say, 85% of the domestic turnover is from government. 15% remains from the private corporates. On the export and, the international revenue and the domestic revenue, this quarter we had an international revenue of around 7.5 CR out of the total turnover of 156 crore.
Okay, so got it. So actually, from the second question is clear. In the first question, I was more keen on...
The line for the participant has been dropped. The next question comes from the line of Raj Saraf from Finvestor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes,
you are.
You're audible.
Yeah. Oh, sir, first of all, congratulations for the stellar set of numbers. Sir, just wanted to have a reason that if I see the revenue which is in geospatial and engineering services, so it has increased, but the margins have decreased. So what could be the reason, sir?
So, Prashant ji, should I take it?
Yeah, please.
So, as I think you must be aware, last time also we had explained that our focus will be to enhance our margins, and geospatial and engineering services continue to provide the margins as we have been doing in the past. However, our focus of our higher margins business is on the technology solutions. And if you see the overall numbers, the geospatial have been in this quarter at around 15-16%, while the margins for the technology solutions have been in the range of around 30%. And that's where we would like to build up more deliveries in future. The split between geospatial and technology solutions is by, I would say, default, in the sense the way we execute the project. The project has elements of geospatial and engineering services, and they have also elements of technology solutions. So the numbers will vary based on the execution of each project, and therefore segment revenue is guided by that.
Okay, so we are mainly focusing on the technology solutions, not on geospatial margins.
We are focusing on both, but obviously the greater focus remains on development of technology solutions, and that can also be seen from the fact that quarter one of last year, our turnover on the technology solutions was 31 crore, and this quarter is 84 crore. So it's more than double.
Okay, sir. And the second question is on the order book only, sir. So we have executed like 156 crore orders in this quarter, but whereas the order booking is now slowing down. So, and you are mentioning that Jal Jeevan Mission is also on hold from the government, and there could be a slowdown on that side also. So how could we assess order booking going forward? Because without increased orders, we can't see companies going to deliver more growth.
So, Prashant ji, should I take
this? Yeah. Let me just take it. Look, our quarterly revenue is 157 crores. So, annualized revenue plus growth on quarter-on-quarter basis, you can pick up a number somewhere about, I don't care what that number exactly would look like, somewhere between 600-700. And if you really look at that number and plot our order book, we are already sitting on 2 years of order book as of now, end of this quarter. Counted for growth, you can say 18 months. So, and we are almost 100% certain that within these 18 months, we would have an order book much larger than what we are having today. What I said was there was a temporary hiccup because of this JJM putting everything under audit. It's coming to an end. So we would see orders taking off from here. We don't see any headwinds in that that sense for the business, if that was your question.
Okay, thank you.
Also, Mr. Saraf, if I can add, first is in the beginning of the quarter, our order book was 1197 crore. And as we speak, it is 1209 crore. So there is no reduction of the order book. But you are right that order book growth has been little slow. While one of the contributors, Prashant sir, has already mentioned, we also kind of bid for other projects other than JJM mission also, which are awaiting the final kind of approval. So we will probably see that happening within this quarter, with quarter two, quarter three. So it's not something that order book is not happening. It's only a time gap by which the new orders are awaited.
Thank you very much, sir. If you can allow me to put a single question more.
Yeah, please go ahead. One more question.
Yeah, I don't think the conference people have restricted it yet, so you have a choice. Go ahead.
Okay. Sir, how is our subsidiary doing, sir, the Aligo, which we have incorporated, and how we look at that, their growth, and how it will contribute to our consolidated margin going forward?
Subsidiary is already merged with the parent, so there is, you won't be able to see it that way. But there is another way if you really look at the numbers. In terms of international revenue, which is probably coming from this subsidiary, has grown
almost like 20% quarter on quarter.
Okay.
It's been good to answer your question.
Okay, and of the margins, the margin profile, if I say from the subsidiary, how it is from
is also doing good.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, sir, and I wish you all the best for the coming quarters. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Meet from Nivishai. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I would like to understand the role Suresh sir is playing in this financial year. What kind of initiatives or verticals he is currently involved, and is directly engaging any part of acquisition process or leading any new strategic focus area post-acquisition?
Okay. Suraj is the CEO designate for the CS Tech as a whole. He will be taking over from me on the 1st of January 2026. And until then, yes, he is playing an active role in all day-to-day operations as well as strategic initiatives of the company. If your question is he involved on a day-to-day decision-making reviews, operations, answer is yes. Is he involved in M&A and is he actively participating? Answer is yes. In fact, some of these acquisitions are being driven by Suraj personally.
Okay. So thank you. Sir, what portion of this quarter revenue is unbilled, either in percentage or actual term?
Sorry, what did you ask?
Yes, sir. What portion of this quarter revenue is unbilled?
Unbilled?
Yes.
This
quarter's unbilled percentage will be in the range of around 50%.
Okay. Also, could you update on the cash flow situation? Has the inflow materialized as projected in Q1, or have there been any delays on side of cash flows?
So, I think if I can take Prashantji.
We have
already explained that there is a cash flow surplus of 127 crores. Secondly, we already mentioned that there is an unbilled revenue, which obviously will be billed once the milestone to bill is available, and therefore that also will materialize. So, cash flow situation does not seem to be any issue over here. On the overall perspective, the net surplus is what we already mentioned. And even though we have the government contracts, I think the realization of the revenues are as per the plan.
Okay. So you, sir, could you provide any quality remarks on what are the plans for the international expansion like, and how do you intend to execute them? Some brief qualitative remarks will be helpful.
I think our international outlook has not changed at all. Our strategy has not changed at all. We will continue to increase international revenue as a percentage of total revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why Suraj is coming in, that is his primary mandate to achieve that objective. That will be through both inorganic as well as organic growth.
Okay. And sir, any remarks on the latest progress on the river linking project?
As I said, the execution has started. Not at the pace we would have loved, we had targeted, but that's primarily because of the delays from government to set their house in order, not from our end.
Mm-hmm.
But looks like everything is being set correctly. So we should continue to see higher and higher revenues every quarter during the current year.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Akshay from AK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of numbers. My first question is, currently we have an order book of 1200 crore, and I think you have previously mentioned that execution timeline for the same is around 18 months. and about the new order flow. So in FY26, remaining FY26, how much can we expect the new order flow in all our categories?
So based on the opportunities which we have identified and we have built, and based on the opportunities which we expect to happen based on the programs which we are following in quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four, we expect that at least we should be able to grab a fresh order book. I mean, this is again subject to the external factors, but our target is to at least get around 800 to 900 crores additional order book during this financial year.
Okay, sir. And, sir, my second question was on the our cash flow conversion. So our cash from operations in the last year was very minuscule at 6 crores. So how much cash flow from EBITDA we can, convert this financial year in FY26?
So I can talk about quarter one. Our EBITDA is all converted into cash flow. If you look at the net EBITDA, which is around 30 crores, our cash flow accretion has been in the range of around 27 crores. So whatever is earned as an EBITDA is forming part of the additional accretion to the cash flow. We will be able to comment upon the next quarters as we go through.
Okay, sir. Okay. Fair enough. And all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dikshant from DB Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the great set of numbers, management.
Thank you.
The first question is, so we clearly have an opportunity of this...
Sir, sorry to interrupt. May I request you to use a handset?
No.
Your audio is a little low.
Is it not good right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now it's better.
Jee. Sir, one thing is clear that there is clear opportunity with Jal Jeevan Mission and other government projects, but it also seems to be a risk for us, a government being the risk, the timeliness of these orders, execution from their end is our risk. How do we plan to diversify this risk going ahead?
Prashantji, if I can, on the execution part.
Yeah, please.
So, on the government, first of all, we don't see that government as a risk. So, that's one thing, because we have been in the business where we have been serving government and executing orders of government since last more than 17, 18 years in the geospatial era itself. And we have never seen any bad debts or any kind of risk in that financial risk. Now, question is, there would be some delays based on the government process, which is also factored into while we bid for a contract or while we execute. So whatever kind of known or estimated risk which could have, I've already been building while we project for that. As regards diversifying or I would say mitigating, we have always been focusing on those government orders where we know that there is a funding plan already approved. We don't go for those government orders where there is no visible funding, and therefore we are sure about getting the funds released. It could be a matter of delay of 30, 40, 50 days as compared to what we would have projected, but it is still part of our process. Another way to mitigate is obviously to try to reduce the percentage of the government business in the total without reducing the actual numbers in the perspective, and that is being planned as a strategy by way of inorganic growth and focusing on international revenue, which I think Prashantji has already mentioned in this as well as the previous investor calls.
So firstly, thank you so much for the clarity there. By risk, I don't mean that failure of payment. By risk, I mean delay of execution timeline as stipulated by the government, and that is not in our hands for sure. That's uncontrollable for us. Do you think going ahead, is there some sort of a revenue mix that we are targeting, that you can give us some sort of directional guidance towards. Not specific numbers, but even ballpark would help. Let's say 18 to 24 months from now.
What we had said, if we didn't give a timeline of 18 to 24 months, we had given probably a little longer timeline. But what we had said was, our current mix is like 70-30 in favor of Government of India. We would like to be somewhere in 60-40, 70-30 in favor of international business to India business. And that's the target in which we are working right now.
Is there any internal timeline that we were working with this, or is it much more open-ended right now?
No, we had said we will target to achieve this within 3 years. And right now, that's what we are working towards.
That's good to hear, sir. So my last question is on directionally, we are looking at the orders that we have built up, and you alluded that even if we look at our order book, it's strong, and accounting for growth also, we have next 18 months of orders figured out. So that's not a problem, and dhire dhire, as soon as the international business starts coming in our favor, we will have a larger order book. So where it is that we are seeing a growth accelerator for us, what is that one thing or those couple of business factors that we are looking in, geography related or client related, that we are accelerating on right now? What are the key areas where we are trying to get these orders from? If you can give us some sort of...
geography is US, accelerator is technology disruption. And so once we have those orders, we will explain you a little bit more. But right now, these are the absolute correct bucketed answers.
Is it in the geospatial range that we are looking in US, or are we looking at our subsidiary business through US?
As of now, both, but largely in geospatial.
Okay, sir. So, can you guide us that when can we get more clarity on this? Next quarter, maybe?
Maybe a couple of quarters.
Okay, but in this financial year?
Yeah, 100% in this financial year.
Got it. So, congratulations again for great numbers. Wish you the best. All the best to the team.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Devashish Neoki from Avan India. Avan Dubai, please go ahead. Hello, sir. As there is no response from the participant, we'll proceed with the next participant. The next question comes from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
You're audible.
Yeah, so very, very congratulations for getting a higher margin in the business. So my question is on your margin side. Like, we improved our margin, EBITDA margin, from 17.9% to 19.3%. And we have seen that employee cost has dropped drastically and project and other operation cost increased so much. So what is the key reason of that? And will this margin be sustainable in future?
Yeah, so I think your observation is right that margins are improving, and I will answer your last question first. It seems that the margin sustainability will be there, because as we already explained at the beginning of the meeting, that our focus will remain on building up more of technology solutions where we see higher margins. That's point number one. The employee cost has reduced, not because employee cost per se has reduced. It is basically the efficiency has been improved, and because we are executing more projects with a kind of set of technology, the infrastructure and the technical know-how we have of the people. So I think as we grow, I think the percentage of the employee cost to the total obviously will go down. As regards the other operational cost, they are specific to respective contracts. Now, there will be certain contracts where we have the outsourcing cost, where we have contractual cost,
and therefore their numbers will be little higher. There will be certain contracts where we only have to provide technology solutions, where we depend more on our technology or our solutions which we build in-house, where the other cost will be lower. So it will be difficult to say what percentage of other cost will continue. It will obviously depend on the nature of project which we execute.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Devashish from Aban, Dubai. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the great set of numbers, sir. My question is on the organizational structure and the integration. So, you know, we have been taking senior people, okay, to... So my question is that how, you know, now the structure is, for example, Mr. Suraj, what would be his role? Then we have, you know, we have Rashi Mehta, whom we have given ESOP. So what are their roles? Are they, you know, specific roles or they are helping us in business development? And how it is integrated? What I mean, how is it integrated, so you can give an example. Because we have a geo special, we have a tech business, we have government, non-government, we have India operations, and we have operations outside of India. So how is there synergy between the operations? And if you can give an example specific to a project, that would be of great help, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the second name you took. Suraj, I understood. Which was the second name you took?
Rashi Mehta, which is already...
Rashi Mehta has already resigned last quarter.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
So, I think the synergy of the business...
Let me try to address your concern. Okay? Rashi Mehta resigned is the secondary thing. Basically, if you look at science, CS Tech right now, and I was looking at some numbers, within three years, our revenue is almost quadrupled. Our profits are almost quadrupled. And we are in a very different league today than what we were just about a couple of years back. So what we are trying to do here is trying to manage this growth, and therefore we also need a strong management team. If we raise money, and our intent was very clearly defined, I think, during the beginning of last year, that we want to grow our international presence, and that can happen along with organic growth. Of course, we also need to look at inorganic growth. So when we hired Rashi, the intent was that she would help us in growing the international acquisitions and take it further to that. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. She decided to separate out. But the reason we have hired Suraj is, as I said, from 1st of January 26th, so which is like 5 months away from today, Suraj is going to take over as the CEO of the company. The reason we need this international management bandwidth is, otherwise, if we go at the pace at which we are growing into the acquisitions and we don't have the correct management bandwidth, we will face issues in a medium term, and which we are trying to circumvent before it arrives.
Thank you, sir, for such a transparent answer. Really appreciate. My second question, sir, is in terms of the debtors and creditors' number of days outstanding. While this has been answered in the past, you know, two con-call back, but it's a stark difference between the receivable and the payable. While I understand that payable also has a milestone and we have a back-to-back arrangement, unless we get payment, we don't pay the creditors. But the difference is huge, sir. You know, so I don't understand how can we have creditors who are not paid for more than 2 years in terms of number of days.
I think you already answered that. Kaushik, you can give the flavors of it and details of it, but I think the question you asked, you already answered that. If I have a back-to-back arrangement and there are some projects which government put on hold and they didn't, obviously the party from which we got the work done, we will not agree. We don't have that obligation. But Kaushik, you can add more flavor to it.
I understand that. My question is that, you know, in terms of debtor days, you know, say, as of March, it is 221 days, whereas the payable is 766 days. I'm saying it's too large difference.
So if I can analyze based on March number, because June balance sheet, although I have, we don't publish as required because it's not required. Even on March numbers, the debtors which we had was, in absolute terms, was around 120 crore. And if we talk about the March numbers, then it was around 420 crore. So debtors was not that much. Their debt was less than 120 days. That's point number one. Creditors, you are looking at the creditors based on the cost of purchase or cost of material or cost of other operating costs. I would rather look at overall cost, because there are certain costs which are also part of the back-to-back arrangements. So in my creditors, total liability, current liability was 158 crores, of which the creditors per se was hardly 75 crore. Now on a 75 crore on a total operating cost of 275 crore would be what, around 140-150 days. So I think they are in sync with what the operation, what the arrangements have been made with the creditors, and there is no overdue creditors as such, because they are all aligned as per the contract. So I think the numbers perhaps, or the calculation, we need to revisit. They are not as significant as you see.
So do we have a negative cash conversion cycle?
No. I think in the first earlier question, we already answered that when we talk about this quarter, the net EBITDA is around 31 crore and 30 odd crore, and the cash conversion out of that is already happened over around 27 crore. And the balance, which is unbilled revenue, which I already mentioned, that is in the range of around 75 crore, which is expected to happen during this quarter two, quarter three. So there is no negative cash as such.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Congratulations once again, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Darshan Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results. Hopefully, I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi, sir. So, sir, just wanted to ask, you said around 800-900 crore orders we are targeting this year. So, what is the estimate of Jal Jeevan Mission from that, sir?
Again, 800-900 is expecting to close, while our pipeline will be higher than that, because there is a timeline for any pipeline to materialize. So we are not expecting every pipeline to materialize during this financial year. Out of 800 to 900 crores, Jal Jeevan would be in the range of around 400 crores as of now.
Okay. The only reason I was asking is that because if it's on a pause right now for some time, new order inflow, so even the tendering process to start and everything would take some time, right? Would it be fair to assume that even if it starts, after Q2, then it would take around, 5-6 months more to materialize, and it would not have, it would be very back-ended, or how would the timeline work, sir, if you could, if a new order has to come?
Sorry. So when I say 800-900 crore, there are certain opportunities which have already been tendered or already in pipeline, and the pause which happened in the last quarter, which is from April, May, June, that pause is expected to be resolved. So it's not something that I'm counting new opportunities, because new opportunities anyways take around six to seven months, which we don't normally count as a part of our fructifying the opportunity. So these opportunities have already started, for which we have bid or we have started working on those opportunities, and we expect those to fructify within this financial year.
Okay, fair enough. That helps a lot, sir. And I just wanted to know, current quarter, our tax rate was very minimal, so is there any reason for that, or like overall for the full year, what kind of tax rate can we assume, sir?
So tax, it's basically the only because of there is a net of tax credit of around 8 crore, which was an excess provision of last year, which is reversed. So if you look at current tax, we are at the same 22%. And that 22% tax rate applies to us across all the quarters. There is a credit of around 7.6 crores, which has brought down to effective tax rate going down.
Okay. But overall, our tax rate is around 22%, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, fair enough, sir. And so just wanted to know, like, we've had, you know, amazing margin this quarter. So as we scale up our revenue, will we get a higher operating leverage, or the margins, like Q1 performance, we should, you know, assume as a new base, and how do we see that, sir?
I think this has also been addressed that as we grow and we are trying to catch up the higher value chain, and therefore we are trying to address the technology solutions platform more than what we were earlier doing, and effectively we expect the margins to sustain or maybe grow a bit. So even if we are growing at a higher pace, as we already mentioned that we grew by more than 100% as compared to the previous year's same quarter, the margins have actually increased. That is because of the order mix or the kind of the way we have executed higher technology platform solutions.
Okay, fair enough. So, and just like one last question from my end, like I think we had around, we've done some expenses of business development in US. So it's a two-parter. So how is that been going, and does like the Trump tariff, you know, make people a bit hesitant in ordering, or how does that flow, sir?
Okay, Trump tariff is day before yesterday's issue, so we need to see what happens. In terms of investment in the U.S., as I mentioned, from last quarter to this quarter, our revenue has grown by 20%. So we are seeing that result starts to coming in.
Okay. Fair enough. So, yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
The next follow-up question comes from the line of Shubhankar Gupta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have two questions. First is on the segmental breakup of the current 1,200 crores order book. So just a small split between geospatial and technology there. And second question is on the other income bit. So I see a massive increment in the other income bit, roughly a 200% increase from, I think, around 15 to 47 million. So what exactly comprises that? Can you do a breakup of that as well?
Sure, if I can just take. You first asked about the breakup of the order book.
Current order book, yes, sir.
Current order book. So out of 1,209 crore, approximately 765 crore is on geospatial, and approximately 445 is in technology solutions. Second question you asked about the other income, which I think on the overall perspective it is insignificant, but it comprises of the interest income on the surplus deposits which we have, and if you look at in the fixed deposits which we have, and if you look at the overall other income, it also is contributed by the share of profit from the JV which we have, which is the Edigram, where we hold 70% of the stake, which also has contributed to almost 2.59 crores. So effectively, when we look at other income, the 7 crore is mainly made up of these two elements, 4.6 crore for interest income and 2.6 crore for share of profit, which in a normal parlance, I would treat it as operating income, but in the investor's presentation, we don't show it as operating income because they are from the surplus or strategic investment.
Got it, sir. That's clear. And so, just a follow-up from the 1,200 crore order book. So we are, our strategic focus is to transition more on the tech solutions bit because that is higher margin, right?
That's
so
right.
Barring the current order book, our focus will be more on the tech solutions bit because of the margins bit. And so what split are we forcing post this current order book is completed? I think you mentioned it, but probably I was not able to capture it.
No, we did mention the breakup into geospatial and the technology solutions, but every order, I mean, typically
most of the large orders would have an element of geospatial and would have an element of technology solutions. So it will be difficult to right now identify how much portion of that will be fragmented in these two. But what we are strategically aiming it is to have such order book where the portion of technology solutions is higher, where it is a combined solution, and a target on replicating the solutions which we already done on the technology solutions part. So I won't be able to give you the breakup of what would be between the geospatial and technology for the new order book.
Got it. No, fair, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kshitij Saraf from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations on the continued good performance. My question is around the structural shift more towards technology solutions business unit. Just wanted to understand in terms of A, offering, and B, geographies, is it safe to say that the focus is more on technology solutions, more on the North American market, and some color around your strategy and how you're thinking about the company's evolution of over the next few years would be helpful.
Okay, this is Prashant. I just want to caution a little bit on this topic. Because margins are good in offering technology solutions, that's our focus. That's the correct conclusion. But we are not leaving geospatial engineering or geospatial space. What we are actually trying to do is pick up the projects where, even though it is in the geospatial arena, we will be using new technologies like artificial intelligence, like IoT, like controls, all of that stuff. And for that, whichever are the projects which give us correct margin profile are the projects we are going after. Geographically, this is applicable for US, this is applicable for Europe, and this is also applicable for India. So, if your conclusion is we are going only after technology, no, that's not true correct picture for our business. What we are trying to do is apply these new technologies in the geospatial arena and try to improve the margin. That's what the correct picture will be.
Understood, Prashanthi. Thank you. That's helpful. My question more around sort of the incremental focus going forward, because at some point the order book and sort of the government spending on these projects might cap out, and as we increase in size, we would be looking for new geographies and for new offerings, as you alluded to earlier. So, you know, on the inorganic side, in this case, could you just let us know what you're looking at, any sort of acquisition assets? What are they into? Are you looking to acquire geospatial across geographies, or are you sort of open to any other verticals, the four intersections you mentioned in the deck?
As of now, the couple of the acquisitions which we are pursuing, both of them come from geospatial, but both of them also come from the technologies, newer technologies which don't exist in CS Tech today. So, vertical will be geospatial, technologies will be newer. That's what we are looking. And geography, both the acquisitions serve US as well as Europe.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Harsh Mulchandani from Toro Wealth Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Congrats on great set of numbers. We just mentioned that we have a 800 to 900 crore bid pipeline. I just wanted to understand how much of it is towards the Jal Jeevan and how much of it is towards other projects, and if you could give some flavor on the kind of projects at which we are bidding.
I already clarified that 800-900 which we are expecting to close this financial year includes around 400 which is Jal Jeevan opportunities.
Okay, and the rest is?
The rest is on the technology platform where it includes some of the replication of
the technology which we already implemented in some of the projects. We are also working on 3D BIM and AEC opportunities for Geospatial, where we added some more technology enablers in this quarter, in the last two quarters.
Okay, so just for simpler understanding, the tech platform when you mentioned would get classified under the tech revenues for the business, the higher margin business?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dikshant from DB Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, so when we talk about our technology services, as you mentioned that it is a couple of AI products and platform services that we are looking at now. But could you just paint us a word picture as to what kind of benefits it is giving to our client and how are we positioned in a unique manner that is giving us that competitive strength?
In terms of client, it is always faster, better, cheaper. So are we doing that? With what we are doing, our AI engine running, we are addressing both of these aspects, faster and better. It is more accurate and it's much faster. What was your second question?
So can you just paint like a word picture as in what is the exact product that we are offering? Who is the PG for us? What kind of services are we giving them?
Okay. What? So it's a little bit of more technical, so bear with me for a couple of minutes.
Please, sir.
Typically, when we are doing the work, after the scanning, either by LiDAR or by the aerial or whatever source we camera, we capture the data, in terms of processing, it needs experience and a lot of people to clean up that data, pre-process, then identify specific objects, and then give the maps or give the objects on the assets.
Yeah.
What we have developed is the artificial intelligence layer to do all this manual intervention and give the results faster and more accurate, as well as the quality of the end results. We have been able to convince multiple customers, not just in India but outside India, that the developed product from our side gives results much better than what is available commercially with them, and the data which they throw over the wall to get processed from low-cost countries. And that's the reason we are able to see the more traction in that area.
So the cleaning and segmentation of data is done by a technology services business. And what kind of sort of target audience are we looking at in US? Is it private players? Is it government?
It's not government in US. It's the private players. And all the utility segments is what we are targeting. Same like India, energy, as well as telecom, as well as road.
So that means that if the infra spends in U.S. start going up in the private space, that would be a direct sort of opportunity for us, if that's energy space or if that's water space, something like that. Is that the right
yes.
thought process, sir?
Yes.
So the transmission lines that U.S. is now also looking into and expanding their power and energy requirements, that's a clear opportunity for us in the geospatial and technology services.
Absolutely, yes.
Got it, sir. Wish you the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arup De, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Could you provide any guidance on revenue and PAT margin for FY26?
No. We have said we will never give forward-looking statements.
Okay. And what is the size of your L1 order book?
So as of now, it is 1209 crore after the first quarter.
No, Kaushik, he is asking L1, not the closed.
L1. In the sense?
Which is what we have bidded and we are at L1 stage. Generally, we don't give that information.
Yeah, we would not be able to provide.
Yeah, it could be misleading.
Right.
So you can provide pipeline? Can you provide that pipeline order book?
Kaushik, please.
So we have already bid for some opportunities. We have identified certain opportunities which we see that we'll be able to bid in this quarter or next two quarters. We are also expecting, based on our experience, that during this financial year, we should be able to get a fresh order book of around 800 to 900 crores. Pipeline will obviously be higher than that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jigar Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, many congratulations for a good set of numbers. We are saying that now we are delivering these results consistently. I just wanted to know about the Chennai Development Center, which was recently opened, and I found it on a LinkedIn. So, like, you know, is it completely utilized for our deliveries, or we are just in a mode of scaling up that particular center? That is my first question. And are we planning to open any other development center in the future in any of the Tier 2, Tier 3 cities?
Okay. On Chennai Development Center, it is fully operational and occupied. It is a customer requirement. Caterpillar was our customer, and they requested us to be near shore to increase the engagement as well as to increase the business. That is why I opened the Chennai. We were already working in their center prior to opening this on our own. That's the story on the Chennai. Will we open any additional centers in Tier 2, Tier 3? Answer is always yes, but it will be subject to the opportunity either in terms of customer or in terms of resources availability.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Suresh KP for closing comments.
First of all, thank you everyone for being on the call and for the host as well. So it's my pleasure to be on the call. I know a lot of questions were asked about my role. I'm pretty sure Prashant answered your questions on that. Just a couple of points I would like to mention in closing. As you would have seen, just to mention the obvious, I would like to reiterate the fact that we have more than outperformed the industry and the market. I think you must have seen from the numbers, and I'm sure all of you look at the market very closely. So very glad to have delivered such a result in this quarter. Also, another important point from a numbers standpoint is that typically if you look at the last 2 years, our Q1 has trailed behind the Q4. But this time, we have clearly gotten a change of the Q1 has beaten the Q4 numbers, and this is as a clear indication of our strategies working and a stronger outlook for the future. And coming from a technology background like Prashant, I just wanted to add a couple of quick points here. I think many of you had a question related to technology. So in terms of how we are trying to leverage technology to grow, it's clearly building in enablers from a technology standpoint to go after the same markets that you have seen here. We build significant capability in the market, as you would see. And these technology tools, leveraging the best-in-class and latest cutting-edge technology like AI and other technologies, would help us be ahead of the competition in terms of speed, in terms of quality, as well as the alternative solutions to what is available in the market today, which we believe will put us in a very strong position in the coming quarter. Thank you all once again.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.